Having said that, do we have anybody here who plays Minecraft? Okay, a few people. I expected some whooping. Okay. There's some. Okay, so to confess something to you, I don't play Minecraft. I never have. So I'm speaking. Oh, am I getting booed? What's wrong with me? But I know people who played it, and I know a little bit. I've heard talks about it. And so I Googled this, so please don't come and like educate me about all I don't know about Minecraft. We'll be here all day if you do. But from what I understand about the game, there's different modes you can play in and kind of two primary ones. And one of them is survival mode. And in survival mode, you have to almost take care of your own health. You got to manage your health. There's potential enemies out there who can do damage to you that you need to be protected from. You've got to gather your supplies to build. So that is survival mode. And then there's a creative mode where I guess you have an unlimited supply of bricks and you can do whatever you want. You can even fly and you don't have enemies that can harm you. So you don't have to worry about managing your health or you don't have to worry about enemy attacks. Is that good enough? Close enough? Okay, I'm getting a thumbs up. Okay, I get a mid or up. So it's close enough. But as we're looking at the 23rd Psalm, man, there's a lot of me that I wish that the 23rd Psalm were like written in creative mode, where you couldn't suffer any damage, where you had everything that you had an unlimited supply of all you want, that's what that I lack nothing means, and you could even fly. Maybe heaven's like creative mode, I don't know. But in the real world, and in the 23rd Psalm, it's a survival kind of mode. So we're going to be looking at 23rd Psalm and thinking about what it would be like as a Minecraft game, if you like Minecraft. But let's go ahead and start with the 23rd Psalm, 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now we'll pause here because these words were written about 3,000 years ago by a guy who was a shepherd named David. And he had these experiences with God. He lived in survival mode. He faced these predators and he had to defend them. He even got pretty famous by facing a giant. So he was used to dealing with enemies and being in survival mode. But he was a shepherd and he had all these experiences with God. And then he wrote lots of songs about him. Now, this is like his greatest hit because it's still here in another language 3,000 years later. It's repeated oftentimes at funerals and other occasions. It's the words can be really powerful and helpful. But so with that in mind, thinking about David and sharing his experience of what it's like to be a shepherd taking care of sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Now the next part, and by the way, there's a cue for the worship team, but this is not it, just to be clear, because it's close-ish. But the next part we're not going to read in the NIV translation, which is what this is. We're going to switch over to another translation, and that translation is the New American Standard Bible. And it says this, because this is a little bit more traditional language. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you, the good shepherd, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, it's not here in these verses, but it's in what we read a little bit earlier on the other screen. Now, who is it that's leading David, the psalmist? Who is it that's leading David? Do we remember? The shepherd? Yeah, the Lord is the shepherd. And where is he leading him? On right paths. So this is the right way. And he says the right paths that the Lord's leading him on, they go through the valley of the shadow of death, and the enemies are present there. Now, if I could write my own Daniel translation versus the David translation, I probably wouldn't be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'd want to avoid that path. To me, I'd prefer a well-lit path that's safe and comfortable, right? where you can see where you're going and where it's comfortable. And I would prefer not to have any enemies. Maybe some are wired to want to fight against people that I don't really want to. I don't want to have any enemies. I'd prefer not to. But yet, in the 23rd Psalm here, he's being led through the valley of the shadow of death, not around it or avoiding it. And the enemies are still present. And that might be a little bit disappointing. So thinking about my preference versus what David wrote, because, you know, David's a lot braver than I am. Like, he faced the giant. But who would Jesus side on? Having no enemies and, you know, walking through the valley or safe paths, or David? Well, it's pretty clear if you read Jesus' words that it's consistent with the 23rd Psalm, as Jesus came as the good shepherd. So we're going to look at some. There's a lot that we could say about Jesus' words on enemies. Famously, he wrote, love your enemies. But we're going to look at some other ones because it's related to sheep. And he says this to his disciples. Matthew 10, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Now, I don't think it's real safe to be a sheep among wolves. How many of you have you seen the movie Finding Nemo? Now, here I have some images of Bruce the shark. Now in the movie Finding Nemo, Bruce is on his way to a recovery meeting. He has an addiction. He's addicted to eating fish. And so he gathers Nemo and Dory, and they go off to this recovery meeting together. And so he's facing his temptation there to want to eat fish, and he has a little mantra. Fish are friends, not food. It works for just a little bit until he smells blood, right? Similarly, if the 23rd Psalm were written as a comedy movie, the wolf would be gathering the sheep to go to a recovery meeting, right? Come on with me, it's safe. Sheep are friends, not food. But that's just a comedy. Now, I already admitted I don't know anything about Minecraft, but I Googled this, just like I Googled the modes. Do wolves eat sheep in Minecraft? You know what the answer is? Yes, they do. In the game of Minecraft, wolves eat sheep because that's survival mode, and that's the world that we're in right now. So if Jesus is saying to his followers, hey, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves, doesn't it make sense why we would be afraid? Wolves eat sheep. Wolves are predators. They're natural predators. They're enemies. They can do harm to sheep. Now, it's no wonder. There's a neurotheologian named Jim Wilder. And one of the things that he has this term, Jim Wilder, and it's called enemy mode. It's a little different than survival mode, but enemy mode. And what that is that's the state of mind when we sense imminent danger. It's enemy mode is basically where we talk about the fight or flight, where there's a panic mode. When we sense imminent danger from an enemy, we go into that enemy mode where our body, our brains, our nervous system start to go into this awareness. Now, it's really necessary that our bodies are equipped with this, because if we're in imminent danger, we need to do one of the things. So we can go into flight, where we run away from the predator, right? So that's one of the things that happens in enemy mode. Maybe we'll run away. We're going to flee. Another one is fight, that we might have an enemy come in, and the only thing that we can do is fight, and we're in that enemy mode, so we have more adrenaline, and we can fight that enemy. The other one, these aren't quite as well known, but neuroscientists have recognized. The other ones are like freeze, like a possum. It's a hiding. Seize an enemy, hope that the enemy does not notice. Get into camouflage and be invisible, hopefully, to the enemy. So freezing is one of the strategies our brains have. And then another one is fawning. Now, fawning is not like a fawn deer. But it's when you're going and you're flattering an enemy, praising an enemy so that the enemy doesn't turn against you. Maybe you've noticed, like, sometimes powerful people will gather other people around them and they'll just fawn over them, or they'll have them fawn. It's not because that powerful person is really great. It's because those people fawning are afraid. Like, fawning is a strategy to deal with enemies. So as we think of, keep that in mind as we think about enemy mode, because a lot of times our brains go into enemy mode when they don't need to, because maybe we're not in imminent danger. But what is it? What is it that we can do? When we are in enemy mode, why are we going into enemy mode? And it's not because we're bad. It's because our bodies are trying to tell us something. Our bodies are trying to protect us. And so our bodies are saying something. As we said in one of the first messages of the Good Shepherd series, with the enemies that we have and how God settles us down, is that we feel fear not because we're bad or there's something wrong with us. Fear is not a sign of failure. It's a cry for connection, that we need some help. It's a connection. And in that fear, where we're trying to connect, we may do it in the complete wrong way, where we're running away and we're antisocial and we're trying to get away from the threat. But fear is really something that God has given our bodies, that we're wired, and it's a cry for connection with someone who's stronger. One expert in neuroscience has said that there are different keys that we can do. There's lots of different ideas, but one of the primary things that we need when we're in enemy mode to kind of recover, because we don't need to be in enemy mode anymore, is that to recover, we need the attuned, compassionate presence of someone else. When we're in enemy mode and we're afraid, one of the things that we need, one of the most helpful things that we can experience, is the attuned, compassionate presence of someone else. Maybe that's why Jesus came up with a church, a group of people. That's why counseling can be so helpful. That's why having that safe friend can be so helpful, because what we need is the attuned, compassionate presence of someone else. Someone on the prayer team, that they can exist for that function that we need. So what is it that we can do? What is it? How can we go into safety mode? Well, think about a sheep. What happens when a sheep sees a wolf? Can a sheep win that one-on-one fight? No. And wolves, do they travel alone? Not usually. They're famous for traveling in packs. So if a sheep encounters a wolf, there's probably lots of other enemies that are there. And what do sheep need? They need a shepherd, because one-on-one, they're no match for a wolf. That predator is stronger. That predator can take them down, so they need the presence of the attuned, compassionate presence of someone else who's stronger. They need a shepherd. Wasn't David brilliant 3,000 years ago as he's writing these things, the Holy Spirit inspiring him to be writing these things that neuroscientists today are discovering are true? Psalm 23:4. Let's get back to that one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. It's not about how brave I am or how strong I am. I fear no evil, not because evil doesn't exist, not because evil's not a threat. I fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those tools that the shepherd have, they're to protect and to guide the sheep. And that guidance and protection of the rod and the staff, they comfort. They can fear no evil because the good shepherd is with them. Now, when alone and in enemy mode, I know when I'm there, I just want to run and hide. Anybody else like that? That's my primary. I would like to just go some days in bed and just keep the covers over my head, because I don't want to go out and see what's the tragedy today. What's the hardship going to be like today? What's going to go wrong today? I just like to sometimes just hide, keep the covers pulled over my head, and disappear. Well, David, the guy who was brave enough to fight Goliath, he felt that too. Because he's a human being as we are. He was a human being as we are. And he knows all these emotions. He knows what it's like. And he wrote other songs too, as we mentioned. And in another song, he talks about this idea, he references this desire that we maybe have to run and hide when we're overwhelmed by enemies, when we're overwhelmed by the bad that's going to happen, when we're overwhelmed by evil that's in the world and that's a threat. And he wrote this in Psalm 32:7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. But this time our worship team can come up. Though we're just getting started, maybe it seems like. Hopefully you're having fun. But don't you love this image? People like me who get afraid and overwhelmed, I love this image. You are my hiding place. Who's going to protect you? It's not just my covers and the bed sheets and blankets, but it's God, that God can actually be a hiding place for us when we need a hiding place. That God, we can go to God, the Good Shepherd, as our protection from trouble. And that God that we can go to who functions for that thing that we really need, that thing that we're running to in enemy mode, that not only will he hide us and protect us, he surrounds us with songs of deliverance. But there's power in going to the Lord. David knew that. For those of us who just want to stay hidden, who get tired of the enemies, the Lord is our hiding place. And David wasn't one just to stay in the hiding place for the rest of his life. He would go to the hiding place and then he'd come back out strengthened to face his enemies. There was one time when his own friends had turned against him. And there's this beautiful verse that said, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord because the Lord was his hiding place. And then he could go back out there and face his enemies again. He could walk through that valley of the shadow of death again after he went to the Lord who was his hiding place. Now, for my family, we have a lot of desire to be like hobbits from the Lord of the Rings. You know, yay, hobbits are awesome. If you've seen The Lord of the Rings, hobbits live in this safe place. And where they're consumed with safety and food and everything is beautiful. It's not a place of a lot of enemies, but it's safe. It's lovely. It's gardening. It's eating. It's farming. It's those nice things of life. And it would be nice if we could just stay hidden. But in The Lord of the Rings, the story, these hobbits that are kind of drawn to the safety, there's a shepherd-like figure with a staff who comes in and has them acknowledge that there's some evil in the world and that he wants them to play a role in confronting that evil. He's going to lead them. And they're going to have to go into this fellowship. And even though there's a big part of them that wants to stay in the comforts of the Shire and not leave home and enjoy the safety of where they are, there's a part of their heart that's drawn to adventure and recognizing the right thing, that knows there is a time to go through the valley of the shadow of death. There is a time to be in the presence of enemies. And they're sent to the heart of the enemy. And as they do, and as they're drawn to adventure, one of the things they discover, these little hobbits, they're not the only ones who struggle with fear. There's a reluctant king named Theoden. And he doesn't want to get into the war. He doesn't want to face the enemies. And he famously says, I don't want to risk open war. And another reluctant king who's more realistic about the problem of evil and what they're called to do says, open war is upon you, whether you would risk it or not. I wish we didn't have enemies. I wish there was no warfare. But the war of the enemy is against us, whether we would have it or not. As it says in the 23rd Psalm, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. I can't tell you that you won't have enemies, but I can say that when your enemies are present, so is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is never on the side of the wolves. The wolves often seem so strong and powerful, but the Good Shepherd has more power. He is greater than they are. That's what we declare. The Good Shepherd is greater. The enemies of Jesus thought the world was theirs, and they thought when they crucified him that they had silenced a victim. But that's not what really happened, because it wasn't their world, it's our Father's world. Listen to these words. He is greater than us. If you are belong to Christ, if you look to the Lord as your good shepherd, be encouraged by these words. John 4, you dear children, we don't have to be big and strong. You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you believe that? The world is strong, yes. But the one in you, if you belong to the good shepherd, is greater than the one who's defeated in the world. And as Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. If you turn to the good shepherd, you can believe these words. You can fear no evil because he is with you. In this world, you may be in survival mode, but it's also our Father's world, and he is greater and he is stronger. The one in you who will be greater than the one who's defeated in the world. And we, with the good shepherd, will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now we're going to close this morning by just listening to the 23rd Psalm. We're going to do it as a prayer. If you're a person who wants to belong to the good shepherd, to turn to him for the help that you need and that we all need, I just encourage you to join your faith with me as I pray the 23rd Psalm over us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He settles me down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Be still. Be still. He revives my soul. He gives me breath again. Even when I almost stop breathing, he gives me breath again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not because I'm strong or brave, but because you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. But my cup, because of you, overflows. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.